Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many really believe that you're going to get the desires of your heart? How many believe that? Amen. Amen. We have to really do what Maggie said. Focus on the Lord. You know, delighting ourselves in the Lord, and He'll give us the desires of our heart. And that has to be really intentional. You have to sit in His presence and focus on Him. You know, that's the key to the whole thing, is where your focus is. And we really want to look at that today, our focus. You know, Sandy has us remembering Him every day for this month, right? Yeah, how many have been doing that? Remembering Him through communion. Yeah. And although it's, you know, I think it's only 2 weeks after Easter, you know, we really tend to forget, don't we? We can forget. We get busy and we can just forget. You know, we move on to other things. We got stuff coming up. Looking forward to summer and kids getting out of school, all that stuff, you know. So we're sort of ready to move on. But in Luke 24, if we want to look in Luke 24, I'm going to bring you back. I'm just going to bring you back a couple of weeks to Easter, because really that's where there was a tremendous shift. There was a huge shift on the planet, you know what I mean? You know, we came out of the old and went into the new. You know, some people want to have Moses and Jesus. You can't have Moses and Jesus, folks, okay? It's Jesus, 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 amen. It's Jesus. Moses is the old, Jesus is the new. And we're walking in newness of life. We're walking in the new covenant because of what we're remembering. That's why we're bringing it to our remembrance. It says in verse 12, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb. And he stooped down and he saw the linen clothes laying by themselves. And he departed and marveled at himself at what had happened. I mean, what's happened? You know, he still hadn't got it. He'd been with Jesus 3 years and he still didn't believe what had happened. What's happening? I mean, how many ever said that to yourself? Why is this happening to me? You know, why me? Why is this happening? We can be bewildered by what's going on because we're living from, in our seeing, we're seeing from the outside in instead of the inside out. And he came to turn the world upside down so that we could begin to see from our heart and not our heads. Focusing on the Lord, focusing on the Lord. You know, like Maggie even said, to see in greater ways. He takes you out into a huge expanse of his goodness, you know, the United States of America. And we can see for miles. We can see for miles. And there's always more to see in the spiritual realm. Always more to see in the spiritual realm. You know, that was my attitude when I got my diagnosis. Why me? This happens to other people, you know? And I go visit them at the hospital. I pray for them, and then I leave, you know? That was my, I've done this for years. You know, I've never been in the hospital, never even had high blood pressure, nothing, you know? Never had my tonsils out, you know? I mean, just, and then all of a sudden, you get this diagnosis. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. You know, are you kidding me? Denial, total denial. And so you really have to change your frame of reference. You really have to, really, God wants to show you something. Amen. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. You know, it's interesting in Bible study, you know, some people say this was Joseph's brother. His name is Cleophas. Joseph, the husband of Mary, And Luke, that's what some of them say. But others say it was Cleophas, who's the brother of Joseph, and his wife. That's what I like to think of it. You know, that's the one. That's the interpretation I choose, okay? That here was a husband and wife who had witnessed all the last 3 years of Jesus' ministry and had witnessed the crucifixion, had heard about the resurrection, and they go, what's happened? You know? I mean, some of you are even saying today in your mind and your heart, did this really happen? What happened here? You know? And we base our whole faith on that empty cross of the risen Christ. And people are still saying, what happened? You know? I mean, they're seeing out of the high. See, they had, it says right there in verse 14, it says, and they talked together. They talked together of all the things which had happened. So they had the information, okay? And information does not change you, folks, okay? Information, you can have all the information. Gather all the information together. We got all the interpretation. We got all the Bibles. We got all of it, you know? All the churches preaching every week. Information does not change you. Encounter changes you. Encounter is what changes you. Encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. Folks, I saw God. I saw God through this whole thing. I saw God in a way I had never seen him before. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Remember, I think it was Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled this temple. You know, I saw the Lord. You know, when I got this, they gave me a date to go do this surgery. And I said, okay, this will be a retreat. You know, Betty knows what I'm talking about. This will be a retreat. You know, I don't take time to do stuff, you know, and be alone with God a lot, you know, just in the morning. And then I'm busy the rest of the time. So I gathered all my books, you know. I got my Bible. I got my reading material. And I got all the stuff together. And I took it with me in the hospital. And I'm telling you, folks, it was not a retreat. It was a war. It was a war. I was so weak. The revelation of his strength is made perfect in weakness came alive to me. I had never been that weak. I couldn't pick up a book, you know, let alone read it. I couldn't. I saw the Lord, though. I saw the Lord. And you know where I saw it? In the prayers of the saints. I felt it in the prayers of the saints. I was too weak to even pray for myself. I could not even pray for myself. I just cried out. I just cried out. And I felt God, and God, his strength was made perfect through you, through the prayers, through the encouragement, through all the things that people have done for me in this time. That's why you need the body. I'm telling you, that's why you need a family. That's why my kids stood by me like never before. I'm telling you, they were right there, right there. I was so weak, but they were right there. Before, they wouldn't even answer my phone, you know, call. So I start texting them, you know, before the surgery. I'd always try to text them. We'll use their media. Okay, you know, and I might get an answer back. But, you know they're walking around with the phones in the hand, you know, but they won't answer it, you know. And you're like, then all of a sudden, I was weak and they became strong. See, I was weak and they became strong. And I had a surrender to that weakness. I'm even weak today. I feel weak than I've ever felt. But I just have to surrender. People ask me, how do you feel? And I said, weak. And it humbles you. I saw the Lord, folks, in ways that I have never seen him. I saw the Lord in people. You know, I always had trouble with that. You have to see God in everybody. I saw God in the hospital staff, I'm telling you. I saw people who did things for me that only God could be working through them. I'm telling you. I mean, you don't get paid that good to serve an individual, to be at my feet, to empty a urine bag, to be at my feet. It's God in them, folks, I'm telling you. And they don't even know it. I saw God in them. And I would intentionally say to them, you are so professional, but you're kind. Your kindness. And they were amazed that someone even noticed it. And you know what that made them? Kinder, gentler, more loving. I saw God. I saw God moving in healing. I mean, healing is not about faith, building our faith. Healing is only about love, folks. Healing is only about a loving community that wants to see you whole. And we've experienced it. Betty's experienced it. I've experienced it. I want to thank you all for the prayers. Number one, the prayers. I could feel your prayers when the fear would come in. You know, one night I was in the hospital and I went into defib and they put the screen at the end of my bed. You know, and I'm like, what? And they're going to move me to, you know, to PCU, you know. And they put it at the end of the bed and I'm going, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Oh my gosh. Because that didn't go like this, you know. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you know, I tell people how it can work, okay? I tell people how scripture will work and everything. I must have just been faking it all along, you know? Because when push comes to shove, oh my gosh, your mind goes everywhere. But I could feel the prayers of the saints. My wife came right down. I'm telling you, she drove right down, stayed by my side for 3 days. 3 days. It was God. I saw God. I saw God like never before. You got to see God in people. You have to see the potential for God to release himself through people. A hospital is a place of healing. They're doing everything they can to heal people. And you mix it with love. There was a young man, I'm telling you, he was an ex-Marine, had went to, you know, became a nurse. He was at my feet. It was the closest thing I saw to washing feet I've ever seen in my whole life. I mean, he prepared me to leave the hospital for 3 hours. You know, took out the IVs, you know, IVs everywhere, you know. And I mean, they took care of me. He pushed, you know, took me in the wheelchair, put me right in the car. Unbelievable. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord from the inside out, not from the outside in. See, the outside in, you see your circumstances, you see the situation, you see it gets bigger and bigger, but if you're looking from the inside out, you have to see how God sees the situation, how God sees it. And it says right here, it says they talk together about what happened. And so it was while they conversed and reasoned. Oh, hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. As they conversed and reasoned. How much have we done this in this place? How much have we, as they conversed, talked about Jesus. My wife and I do it every morning. We sit down together. We have coffee. We read a devotional. Not every morning, but and we talk about it. We talk about spiritual things. As you converse and reasoned, who shows up? Jesus drew near. Hallelujah. There wasn't even a worship team, Doug. They didn't have a worship team, you know. Why didn't you bring that worship team down to that hospital room? Oh, my gosh. Could you see them all coming in, you know, percussions? And see, all you have to do is say, what happened, God? What's going on? I mean, that's what I had to do. God, I'm shocked. What's going on here? As they talked together, and he drew near and went with them. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will, as long as we're focused on him, Maggie, he shows up. He shows up right there. I sensed his presence right there. Not in a whoa. But in the people that came to me. I mean, the finances you helped me with. I want to thank every one of you. Judy wants to write thank you notes to every one of you. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm not too good at that. So I said, thank you, every one of you. Doug came over, put in my screen door. You know what I mean? People came over and helped me, sat with me on the porch. I mean, it's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ coming together and releasing his presence, his healing presence right there. I want to be in that community. I am in that community. This is that community. I have seen him do it for Betty. I've seen him do it for everyone who has been in a situation where they needed. You want to be in a healing community. I'm telling you. You want to be in a community that talks about Jesus, talks about God, talks about his love. So it was wild that Jesus drew near, but their eyes were restrained. They were seeing from information. See, they had all the information, and they didn't know what happened. Even though Jesus told them it was going to happen, they were in denial that it was happening. They were in total denial. It says they reasoned, and their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. See, I never knew him in the situation I was in. I never knew him in complete weakness, total weakness, unable to do anything. I knew him in my own strength, my own perception. If I prayed enough, if I read the Bible enough, I'm sure he was there. Not in a place of absolute weakness where only he could show up because he wanted to be with me in my time. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to show up in that time of questioning, that time of misunderstanding, in the time of your worst weakness. He drew near, and he said in verse 17, he said to them, "What kind of conversation is that you have with one another as you walked and are sad?" He's with us in our questioning. He's with us in our sadness. He's with us in our brokenness. He's with us in our doubt. He's with us in our unbelief. He's with us all the time when we think, no, he couldn't be with us or happy with us. He's right there. He's right there. I'm telling you, he's right there with us. I felt it. I saw the Lord. I mean, I was with the Lord. I couldn't pray. I couldn't read the Bible. Judy took all the books in the Bible and everything home. And I just laid there and rested in the Lord. Just rested in the Lord and trusted him. You have to come to that point sometime when you're just going to have to trust him. When you have that desire in your heart, that vision in your heart, and you're going to have to know that he brings it to pass. Whether you prayed 10 hours or not, whether you fasted, whatever you do, that he wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. Then one of them, named Cleophas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And what you've not known that these things happen in these days?" I love Jesus. He plays with them. You know what I mean? I just love how he's so playful and so, you know, so wonderful. And he says, "What things?" You know, he wants to hear you. He wants to hear your questions. He wants to hear your doubts, your anguish. He wants to hear you. He wants to talk with you. Oh, I'm telling you. I know he just wants, you know, not that you're perfect. Not that you're perfect or that you've done everything right. He wants to be with you when you've done everything wrong. When you've done it all wrong. That's what draws him. That's what draws him. The need, the heart's desire, it just draws him. When you're so weak, you can't do anything. That's what you have to have. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all people." Hallelujah. Woo. So they start talking about Jesus. And that's all he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear their heart. And how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we're hoping. Hallelujah. Woo, we're hoping, aren't we? Oh, we have such a great hope. And hope never makes us ashamed. Oh, what's the hope in your heart? What's the hope in your heart? We're hoping. Hope. Hope. Oh, I had so much hope. And he was right there when I was hoping. We were hoping that it was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day these things have happened. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. You know, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Oh, I love that Sunday's the first day of the week, don't you? To get a good start. We think it's Monday. It's really Sunday. Okay. It's really Sunday. And that's why I love gathering together with people on Sunday to just set our course, to set our hearts, to set our desires, to set our hope. Oh, my goodness. You know, Ken sends me a text every day. You're healed by the stripes of Jesus. You're cancer free by the blood of Jesus. Every day he does that for me. You know? Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's the kind of encouragement. That's the kind of community you need. Not the ones that are hopeless and negative and, you know, just parroting what everyone is saying about the country and everything that's going on. You need people full of hope. That's what I need. People, and I'm going to need you more. I'm telling you. This thing's not done yet, but you know what? It's done. It's done in the name of Jesus. Amen? It's done in the name of Jesus. And it says, yes. And a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Woo! God will astonish you with what he'll do. He's astonished me in my whole life, I'm telling you. He has astonished me with the things he's done with little old me, you know? I mean, I never saw myself standing before anybody preaching, talking, you know, being a minister, being a man of God. Never. I was just, like I said, a honky-tonk stardust cowboy who, you know, just wanted to shoot pool and drink beer. You know what I mean? But he saw something in my heart. He saw me from the inside. Inside. Inside out. People look at you from the outside in. We need to look at people from the inside out. Christ in them. We need to see the Christ in them, the potential. The potential. I wrote something down here. It says, we need to see the God in other people. We need to activate the God in ourselves. It's Christ in us. But we need to see the God in other people, and we need to connect with them and draw that out. That's what we need to do with love and loving encouragement. It says, and when they did not find his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels, and he was alive. He was alive. Our God's not dead. He is alive. Come on, say it with me. He is alive. Whew. He is alive. Angels too. Oh my gosh. How many believe in angels? All right, there's a few of you. You know, we all have a guarding angels. There's warring angels. I mean, that's seeing into the spirit. Seeing those heavenly hosts coming together. Oh my goodness, he is alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman said, when they did not see him. He is alive. He is alive. He's alive. Oh. See, he's wanting these two people who represents us on our journey. Jesus joining us on our journey. Recognizing in the spirit that he's always there for us. It's a story that we can just put ourselves into. I mean, it's an actual historic account, but he wants us to bring it forward to our own lives. He wants us to see that Jesus is right there with you in all the things that you're going through. When you've made your mistakes, when you're weak, when he never leaves us or forsakes us. You know, we can get busy and really not understand that, really not realize that, really not experience that. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones, slow in heart. Whew. See, their heart was was not in the right place, really, to see the Lord. Their hearts were not in the right place to see the Lord. Their hearts was full of doubt, they couldn't see with their spiritual eyes. Oh, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory? At the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures concerning himself. I mean, that's what we do on a continual basis. We bring those before you. Bring you those things before you on a continual basis. All the things that Jesus is. All the things that Jesus is going to do. All the things that the Bible says about Jesus. This is a picture of us on our journey. And he's expounding to us. He's speaking to us of all those things. Oh, open my heart, Lord. Open my heart. Cleanse the lens of my perception. That's revelation. Cleanse the lens of my perception so that I can see Jesus. So I can see the spiritual realm. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That doesn't mean you're completely holy. That means your heart in a position to want God. Oh, purify your heart from all the other desires and hunger to see him. I mean, we run classes on that, you know. Going deeper with God runs a class. To just have people see with their spiritual perception. You come in here just seeing out of your head all the things on media and all the things, and your heart becomes slow. Your spiritual heart becomes slow and dull. And you can't see what's really going on. You can't see what's really going on in the spiritual realm, that there's angels all around. The glory of God is all around us. Just open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. It says, and they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. You know, years ago we used to hear the preachers say, you know, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Love will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin was the focus back then. It's an Old Testament mentality. The New Covenant focus is love will take you farther than you want to go. Whew. Love will take you farther than you want to go. I'm done with that. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you know the love of God, if you understand the love of God, it will take you farther with your mate, with your family, with your friends, with your church. It will take you farther than you even had an inclination that you could go. Love will keep you longer than you want to stay. That's the focus. We need to shift the focus off sin into love. Into love, and that's what the new covenant is all about. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. Love never fails. Healing is about love. It's not about information. You can read books on healing to encourage your faith, but it's all about love. That's what heals. That's what's healing me, is love, understanding his love. It says love will keep you longer than you want to stay. Longer than you want to stay. You know, I'm so glad I stayed with Judy. You know, and there were times I saw myself going down the highway, you know, going down to Florida or someplace. But it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and love pays off right over there. My beautiful daughters and my grandchildren. Hallelujah. Wave at the crowd. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, it says love will cost you more than you want to pay. Whew. Look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It cost him. And what did he say to his father? If this cup could pass me, you know, let it be so. But he said, no, let it be done according to your word. Love will cost you more than you want to pay to stick it out with people. It says, and they constrained him. Abide with us. Isn't that our prayer? Oh, Lord, don't leave us. Don't forsake us. The cry of our heart, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Hallelujah. I love that part. Woo! He went in to stay with him. The presence of the Lord. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you. But sometimes you have to go through the tough stuff. You know, sometimes you have to go through the tough stuff to realize that. I mean, I don't like it that way. But it certainly has changed me. It's humbled me, folks. I've been prideful, you know, but it's humbled me. It just really humbled me of what really is important and, you know, who I am and all the things that, you know, life's about. Your family and your friends and your church and all those things. So it humbles you under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. And he stayed with them. And now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them. You know, we want to have communion this morning. We want to have a communion, time of communion and corporate communion. So we have communion on that side and we have communion on that side. And you know, communion is really about union with God, about Jesus joining himself to us. You know, and he has chosen, really, to enter into union with us. He's chosen, just like he did in this story. He chose to stay with them. He chose to spend the night with them. He chose to be with them. He chose to come down to the table and eat with them. You know, I'll never forget a Maundy Thursday back in 1979, before I had given my life to the Lord, that I was invited to a UCC church, you know, and to hear the story about Easter, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I was in the basement of this church, an old church with a couple old ladies, and it was smelled pretty musty, and they had communion. They had communion, and the ladies were complaining about how hard the seats were and how, you know, the smell. And when we took communion, I saw Jesus. And it started me, it opened my heart to accept Christ, not that day, okay? It was not that day. I went to the cemetery on Easter morning, Judy and I, you know, and we both saw something happen. We saw Jesus. And that summer, we both gave our hearts to the Lord. So Jesus is always in everything you're doing, in every situation. We were living together, and we were, you know, we hadn't become Christians yet, you know. We had April together, and my other daughter, Stephanie, but God was with us. In our sinfulness, in our brokenness, in our weird ideas, and he was right there. He was right there with us, you know. And he was pursuing us and wanted to reveal himself to us. Whew. Oh, I want everybody to take communion this morning. I really want everyone to take communion this morning. It really is an opportunity to have our eyes really opened. And it says, and then their eyes were opened and they knew him. Whew. See, they began to see from the inside out. It wasn't about the information, it was about their hearts. Their perception was changed. Their whole perception was changed. There was a paradigm shift in their lives. A shift from the natural to the spiritual, and they saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. I saw God. I saw God. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Whew. What an endearing story. What an incredible story. Oh, my gosh. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I love this stuff. I love this stuff. I was created for this stuff. I'm telling you. I'm a believer. You got to believe something, folks. you know, and I believed wrong for so long. But I'm telling you what, he has never disappointed me. He has never left me, nor forsake me. It says their eyes were open, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? See, we're supposed to be a people of burning hearts. You know that word burn, it means like a fire on a hearth at home. That's what it means, a fire on a hearth at home, a burning place for the Lord, a heart burning with the love of the Lord. That's what changes. That's what encounter does. It changes us. And it says, did our hearts not burn within us? Whew. I mean, I wept in that hospital. I wept when I saw the Lord and the people that loved me and cared for me and worked with me for my healing. Oh my goodness, it's so wonderful. My heart burned and I was changed while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us. So then they rose up that very hour and they returned. Whew. See, that's what repentance is, folks. It's turning around. You know, it's not begging at the altar or, you know, it's walking this way. And then understanding, getting a revelation of who Jesus is and just turning toward him. That's all it is. You know, we make it real difficult, but it's a returning to him. A returning to him. They returned to Jerusalem. They returned to Jesus and they found the 11. Oh, there's church. Hallelujah, church. They found the 11 and those who were with and they gathered together. Wow, isn't that a picture of church? They gathered together. I'm going to have Ron start up a music video that is part of my daily devotion. I love this. And as we start to play it, I want you to just, you know, our band could do this. Our band has done this, okay? But I just want them to be able to have communion with us. I wanted them to be able to worship with us, you know? They're always working, you know what I mean? So, I'm telling you, this is my favorite song. But turn it up a little, Ron. Bring down the lights just a little. Go get communion. Be released to get communion, and then let's close by just worshiping the Lord together, okay? Can't help.
Isn't that awesome, babe?
You say yes to your promises. It's my confidence. Is your faithfulness? I will rest. I will rest in your promise. My confidence not found in me. It's your faithful.
Come on again.
I will rest in your promise. My confidence is your faithful. I will rest in your promise. It's my confidence. Yes.
real quick, I just got two little announcements for you guys, okay? And then we're going to let you go, all right? Real quick, we're actually doing our Mother's Day basket raffle. If you guys have not got a chance to see the basket, which my Vanna Whites are running a little late. They should be up here with the basket right now. So I don't know where they're at, but they're coming right there. So if you haven't had a chance, this is all for our camp this year. We're hoping to get enough for camp and to start a drum fund for the youth. So here's my Vanna Whites. So beautiful.